like to kind of build up a little bit. You remember that the children of Israel had been down in Egypt for some 400 years. And the Lord, by His promise, had come and through Moses had brought the children of Israel out by a mighty hand. And it's a wonderful story. It typifies God's working in the salvation plan. Egypt was a type of sin, and the Lord had came and delivered them out of sin, and He brought them, and there was a mighty body of water. They had the pursuers behind them, if you remember, and God was a cloud by day and the fire at night, and led them to the place, and then got there to the Red Sea, and there was a mighty crossing, and the Egyptians had come up, and you imagine the whole scene, and the Lord split the waters open, and the children of Israel went on over on dry land. And then when the attackers attempted to do that, the seas came back together and drowned them there, and they got to the other side, and that must have been glorious. It must have been glorious to have witnessed such power of God there, and I think the people rejoiced and they sang the song of Moses and of deliverance, and what a thing it was. And then God moved them on and had a plan for their lives, and He moved them on. After that deliverance, He moved them on and He take them back down. Now they're going to go to the promise made to Abraham, over going to cross the Jordan into the promised land. If you'll remember, they come to that point and they sent spies out to go spy the land of Canaan. I don't think they knew exactly what they was getting into. I think they knew what the promise was, but they didn't know what they was facing. And when they went over there, they sent, I believe it was 12 spies, wasn't it? And they went over and they spied out the land, and the land they found out was full of giants. I don't know. I think their expectation was different. I think that they had seen the Lord, and they thought that the Lord surely had went in by plague or by some kind of a thing and had wiped the people out, and that you're going to go in there and spy, and there'd be a few little old scrawny people in there that they could push over, and they're going to go in there and get the land. I don't know what they had intended, but when the spies came back, well, they come back and said, it's not what we're thinking here. There's giants over there, and we're like grasshoppers in their sight, and the cities are walled, and there's so much over there, and we're just not able. We're not able. We don't have the means to go over there and take the land. But there was two that looked at it and said, by faith, they said, we're well able to take it. It's true. They're like giants, and we're like grasshoppers. The city's walls are thick, and the tasks are formidable, but we serve God. And we're well able to take that land. But the people cried all night long. They wept because of the report that had come to them. All of this time, all of this energy, all of this expectation is brought to naught right here on the near side of Jordan. And we're not able to go over there and get what we long for. And what? And they cried all the night long. You remember that? This is some 40 years later that this experience happens now, and the children of Israel, 40 years lacking 5 days, I believe I read, they came to the Jordan again, and the Lord is about now to take them across. So we're going to pick it up in the 4th chapter of Joshua, 1st verse. It says, and it come to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder,
according unto the number of the tribe of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye these by these stones? Then shall ye answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the numbers of tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests were, which bare the ark of the covenant, stood. And they are there unto this day. For the priests which bare the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished, that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded. Joshua and the people hastened and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priest in the presence of the people, and the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh, passed over armed before the children of Israel, and as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony, that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place, and flowed over his banks as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Now, that's quite a story. And when you think about it, one of the things that I thought about this little reading here was the fact that they had a lot to do. There was a lot of preparation done here, and obviously they was concerned about attack. They was fairly helpless. This was not a strategic place militarily to be. Crossing a river is militarily a tough thing to do, and if your enemy had mind to, it'd be a good place to attack. And they was alert to all the ideas of this possibility. Not only that, it wasn't just 40,000 armed men crossing a river. There was women and children and old men and old women, and all the tribe of Israel was crossing. So in one sense, they was in a very tight place there. But I noticed yet they took special details in all that they had to do to honor God. And it is proper that it be that way. There is nothing more important in this world than doing what the Lord says to do. They were in a very tight place, and yet he was very particular to do what the Lord told him to do. And right there as they crossed the Jordan, you can picture this. Lord had something in mind by it. They gathered up stones right in the middle of Jordan and piled them up in a pile. There's no idea of how big they were in the middle of Jordan. The ones they took out was small enough to put on a man's shoulder. But what was in the middle, we really don't know what was done. But they set in the middle of Jordan a monument. And think about that monument for a little bit. Because after the priest's feet left out and the ark left out, the waters came back in. And right out there in the middle of that river was a monument. How did it get there? How could you have built a monument out in the middle of that water like that? It spoke something. It spoke a truth of an event that happened. And God wanted Israel never to forget that He wanted there to be a monument. I read that they said even when the water was over it, there was the water swashing around it made a noise around that monument. In other words, it went speaking all the time that there's something there. Something happened right there at that point in time. And then they took the 12 stones out, they on man's shoulders, all representing that it's for everybody. No tribe was left out. You couldn't down in some time, the tribe of Dan couldn't have said, we was left out of this. I don't believe it. It didn't come through my heritage, or it was all for you. No, everybody was a part of this thing. And they took it out of there, and when they went to the place of their lodging, they made a monument with it. And it's only speculation. Some think that it wouldn't have been much of a monument if it was only 12 stones laid together. Some speculate that the monument was actually made, and then the stones was placed, as he said, set up on top of them. But they made a monument of it, and it was for a reason. It was so that one day, those that was there experienced it. I want to say here at this time, it's a must for us folks. A personal experience in your life is a must. This thing will never work because other people do it. It will never mean anything to you if you just do it because mom and dad do. It's a good starting place, and the Lord taught in His Word a lot of places about being diligent to teach this to the children. It was an important thing to do. This was one of them. But folks, it's so important that I have my monuments in my life. Have you crossed Jordan? If you did, you should have a monument to it. There should be places in your life that somebody's going to ask you a question. What mean these stones? What happened in your life to cause you to be like this? Lord help us. But we ought to have something of a personal experience. Not the answer that the church does it. Not the answer that mom and dad did it. Not the answer that somebody taught it. But the answer that I crossed Jordan to. I have a monument in my life. I've erected something that somebody's going to see something in there, and somewhere in the line, in the future, somebody's going to say, what mean this? What do you mean by doing this thing? Why are you so different than other people are? Why do you make the places in your life that you do? You've got standards. What is that? Where did you come up with that is? I got something in my life. That's why I do it. That's how I arrived at this place. I crossed the Jordan too. I came into the land too. This is my experience. And I'm going to set up a monument to this thing. And it's going to be an enduring monument. Why did God tell them to pick stones? Well, that's what in the river, it's what it represented. But you know, God never... I never find in the Bible where God was fascinated, or God was really impressed by humans' abilities. We get impressed by humans' abilities, don't we? I'll be honest with you, I do. I'm not musical, so somebody that is and can play musical instruments and do all that's pretty impressive to me because it's so far beyond me. God's not impressed by your talent. You know, I'm impressed by scientists that's got these minds that they can do all these things. It really fascinates me. God's not impressed by your mind. God's not impressed by your workmanship. You know, there's people that can build and create, and artists that can do just fascinating things. It impresses me, but it don't impress God. He's not moved by it. And He told them, did He tell them to take these stones and square them up and make it real pretty? No. God wasn't interested in the fanfare. He wasn't interested in He was interested in the durability. These stones represented something that was going to last through time. They'll wear a little, but they'll endure. I'd be willing to say that I don't know that the monument stands or where it's at, but I'd be willing to, if you could go and do it, and it was provable, those stones are in existence somewhere. Because they endure time, and God wanted something that was endure. He wants us to have something that'll endure. He wants us to have an experience that when the devil comes along, the monument's there to point to. Don't come and tell me that I've got the monument. I got stones out of Jordan. And it was dry, and it was standing on its ends, and here's my faith right here. Here's what I can share with somebody else. I have an experience. God has parted the water for me too. Has God parted the water for you? Have you crossed into that land of Canaan? Have you went into that place of consecration, in that place? Have you got some monuments of your life? Can you say for a positive, see, what I'm saying is, somebody's going to come and ask some questions sometimes. And what are you going to say? What is that you say? You can say, well, I look around here and obviously tell that people around here, well, people wearing long sleeves, and you can see that at Monarch too, and it's 100 degrees out, and people's wearing long sleeves, and we can make all kinds of... But you know, sometimes there's a real honest soul comes up and says, what are you doing? You got an answer? You got a monument placed there of something that God has dealt with you about that shows you? What's your answer to that? I know one brother said a real simple answer to that. Why do you do that? I love God. I got a monument here and a place that God has dealt with me about, and I'm going to... It doesn't matter what you think about it. It don't matter who does and doesn't believe what this monument is down through the generations, but he said there'll come a time that your children's going to ask you, what meaneth these stones? What means these stones? Why is these stones? It's obvious that they're not beautiful. They're all rugged and rough. The monument's not beautiful. It's lasting, but it's not hardly anything to look at. What are they there for? Well, I'll tell you why they're there. Because a great God brought a people to the land, and they had a hindrance before them. A great hindrance. Couldn't get over it. You ever had anything that you couldn't get over? You ever come to a place that was too big for you to cross? And you didn't know how to get there and didn't think it was possible? And God worked in your life and got you to the place beyond what you could even imagine? I prospered in my soul. I got victory over things that I never thought they could be possible. And I come to this place and lo and behold, God split the waters. And I walked over. And now I've got a monument on the other side for anybody that wants to ask. Why do you do what you do? Because God opened up the waters. Because God brought me to this place. And I set up something that's notable. And I set up something in my life that you can see. That people's going to ask the question for. Why do you do that? What's it mean to you? Why do you take the stands that you do? Why do you watch what you... Why do you not watch what you do? Why do you listen to? And why do you not do it? These are valid questions that people want to know. Why do you do what you do? This is why I do it. Because I've got God working in my life, and it means something to me. You need an experience for the Lord for yourself. I've said this many times. I don't think you can say it loud enough, long enough. I don't think you can say it too often. You've got to have the experience for yourself. You've got to know. We heard in Sunday school this past Sunday about knowing the Lord. And that really got knowing the Lord. What does it mean to know the Lord? Knowing in the Scriptures many times was meant in an intimate, very intimate way. Adam knew Eve. And it was talking about a very intimate relationship. It's to know beyond the intellect. I can say, I know who you are. I've seen you before. I know that. And know nothing about you. I know nothing of your character. Nothing of your inside workings. To know God is to know it from the heart. It's more than the intellectual thing, but it's to know God in the heart. I've had the experience. I've had the experience. And another part of what God wanted us to have in this reading was, God don't want us to forget. He never wants us to forget what He's done. And He wanted these people to have something that was lasting. And you know what? There was people there, no doubt, that would have said, "Nah, it wasn't all that important." I'm sure in that multitude there was people like that. And there was other people that would have said, "What are we making a monument for? I'll never forget this." You ever think like that? Well, I'm going to tell you, God knew what He was doing. To me, this stands out for deep convictions. Deep convictions. You got something in your life that God made. This wasn't hearsay now. This God did this. Why do you do what you do? Some people will come and say, this trusting in the Lord for healing. I don't know. I don't know. Why do you do that? I'm going to tell you what some of my answers are. One of my favorite ones is one of my children was sick one time. Wife comes to me and says something about going to town the next day. Well, there was a flu that was rampant around, and my child had the flu. And this was one of these 4 or 5 day things and rough things. And wife comes and says, "We only need to go to town in the morning." "Can't do it. Baby's sick." She says, "Well, if the baby was better, the Lord was to do something." And, well, yeah, that's right. Remember holding my child in my arms, praying. Prayed a few times and asked the Lord about it, and I felt the fever of this child go right up my arms. I felt it. I felt the heat. I was praying and holding, and just now I felt the heat of that fever go right up my arms and out. And I put my hand there and laid her down, and she slept all night long. It's my monument. What mean these stones? This is what these stones mean. When my child comes back and says, "Dad, you've been pretty staunch about this. So it meant a lot to you. Why do you do that?" I want to tell you about a faithful God that got me across the Jordan one time. That got me across the river of doubt and fear and didn't know what was going on, but here comes God. And got me across that, and now I'm in a different land over here. I'm in a land where there's victory. I'm in a land where I got something. And the Lord got me there. I don't want to ever forget that. I don't want to ever forget where God come and seen me and visited me and got me across that place. Another time, this is what I'm going to tell you if you ask me. Another one of my children was sick one night, cramping, and the pain was awful. You want to rend the heart of a father? Touch the child. My heart was hurting. This child was suffering with pain, agony of pain, and cramping and all this in the night. And it didn't last just one night. It lasted another night and another night. Come to the middle of a night, about 3 nights away, and here I was in the middle of the night, still begging God. Oh, and I said to the Lord, "I've prayed all I know to pray. Lord, I've said everything I know to say." And the Lord gave me that scripture in Romans about not having the spirit of fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we can cry, "Abba, Father." And when the Lord gave me that, I realized I'm a son. My faith took hold, and I said, "I'm a son. I'm a child of the living God, and I've got some place here." And you know what the Lord did when I got that inspiration? He touched my heart and my child at the same time and healed her, and it was never there again. In an instant, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, she was healed and I was made better. And my faith was made stronger. And I was up to the edge of a Jordan, a river that I couldn't cross and had no way across. And here come God. And He's parted the waters. And I walked across the place and I got to the other side. And I erected in my heart a monument. What mean these stones? This is my monument to my God. And the faithfulness that He's had to my soul. How can I ever doubt Him now? And you come and say, "You're ridiculous. You're an idiot. It's plain ignorance to do what you do in this modern time." It's all right. But there's a monument that can't be tore down too. There's a place of a God that's visited me time and time again. And in my hardest time, one of my hardest times, that I'm standing before the Lord and saying, "Lord, I cannot go on. on in this trial. I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what else to do. And do you know what the Lord did? He didn't change the circumstance. But He flooded me. It was like the gate was open. And when I got to this place and I told the Lord, Lord, I don't know what else to do. I'm at wit's end. I'm at the end of the rope. And the Lord opened up and it felt like, I mean, it flooded. The presence of the Lord flooded around me. And I knew, and this was the witness, I knew that there was nothing that could come into my life that I couldn't handle by the grace of God. And that assurance kept me, the feeling didn't. The assurance, the monument, the place of His visitation stays in my soul all the time. God visited me right there. And what do you say? Why do you do it? That's why I do it. Because God has made Himself real to me. And I've crossed that place into that. And I want to make that monument. And I want there to be the questions. I want my children to come and say, Dad, what mean these stones? You got something set up here and to the eye, it's not very pretty, Dad. Be honest with you. It's not real attractive. The world's got its monuments of shine and glitter, and it's got its heroes and its hall of fames, of hall, sports hall of fames to rock hall of fames to movie hall of fames. It's got all its hall of fames, and it puts its glitter and its shine and its gold on it. Dad, this is not very pretty. Matter of fact, it can look kind of dull. What is it? This is my monument where God visited me right here. And it means something to me in my life. Folks, we've got to have these kind of places in our life. We need to have the kind of experiences that I'm talking about. Talk about a hand of protection. I think often of that scripture that says, Jesus said, how often, as He looked over Jerusalem and wept over His people, He said, how oft would I have gathered you together as a hen would her chicks? Oh, I'm going to tell you how God wants to spread those big wings. Oh, the 91st Psalm, go read it. And they're talking about that place of protection under His wings. And how oft would I have gathered you together as a hen would her chicks? And oh, I remember in this little chicken cup, my grandma, she raised these chickens and all. And these little biddies would... Yeah, old hen was in this little square or triangular-like coop, but the little biddies would get through it, and they'd walk out around the area, and they'd be pecking and all that, and you'd clap your hands, and in an instant, well, they'd go in there, and she'd flare up and look out to jump onto anything that she could. She couldn't because she's in the coop, but and they'd run in under, and they'd be right up there against her. How oft, He said, would I gather you together, and how many times that I remembered that in times that it looked like I was about to meet with disaster. How oft would I gather you? Oh, there was one time I was driving along and I saw this car coming up, told this many times. But it's my monument. The car driving up and it was off the road. It was starting down a mountain and the car was off the road on the other side. And I thought, what's this crazy guy doing? He's off the road over there coming up the mountain. And as I topped over, boy, I knew why he was over there. He couldn't get no traction on the road because it was black ice all the way down through there. And I hit that and the car just, the way it went. And I didn't have no driving abilities or anything. And I tried to steer. You couldn't steer. Couldn't brake. Could not brake. The car was doing whatever it wanted going down that hill. And it went to slam into the rock cliff on the left side. Across the road. Was ready to hit the... And just before it hit, it didn't. I don't know why it didn't, and I do too. But then it jerked off, and boy, we went just as quick as you could think to the guardrails, and just before it hit it, it didn't. And then it went back across to the rock cliff, and almost, but didn't hit it, and then across to the guardrails, and all the same time, there was only one thing I could think, and that was, Lord help. Lord help, Lord help. I couldn't get anything else to going, but Lord help, Lord help. And we did that. I did that about three times, and then I come by that place many times after that. There was one nice wide spot there beside the road that you could get a car off, and that's where my car stopped, just like I pulled it over. And when I'd pass that many times, I would think about that place. How oft would I have gathered you? I thought of that place right there in my heart, right there when I passed by, there was a monument. There was a monument to God's love and care for me in a difficult time and got me through something that I couldn't get through by myself. I couldn't control it. I could have died right there. Anything could have happened, but God looked down on me. And in my heart, there is a reason. So when you say, Brother Marty, why do you do what you do? It's because I have a faithful God. It's because there's one that watches over and protects me. And if you think I get a little radical about things sometimes, it's because I've got a monument that's placed there. That's why I do what I do. I want you to understand that sometimes I'll say things that people won't say. I'll say that the Scripture says if somebody smites you on the cheek to turn also the other, he meant that. And when I get radical about it, it's because I've been where there's a monument in my life that God erected there for me, where He took care of me, and I got smit on the head and slammed by a gun barrel and was facing what looked like death, and there I was in the middle of it, and I trusted in God, and there's a monument there in my heart to the protection of God and how He worked everything over, and now to me there's a monument sets there. You may say, well, I'd take a different action. Well, you'll take a different action, but I got a monument there, and I believe the great God of heaven looks over His children with a tenderness and a readiness to avenge, and a readiness to take care of. And He watches over us all the time. And I believe that today. There's a monument there. Do you have monuments in your life like that? I know you do because I've heard you tell them. But it means something, doesn't it? In the Scripture, there was a man, and he was blind. And he had been blind all his life. He never seen. You know, that's something, isn't it? And the Lord comes by, he meets the Lord, and the Lord healed him of that. Some folks come by, those envious, and they wanted to corrupt the Lord's name. And so they come to this guy and says, that didn't happen. Yeah, it happened. Well, they said, give God the glory. Because we know this other guy ain't right. Now, this guy has the perfect answer for him. You all debate your religion all you want to. This is what this man said. I don't know about all that. This is what I know. I was blind, and now I see. That, I'm telling you, the statement of that. In our salvations, when somebody says to us, what's the hope that's in you? We need to be able to say, you argue your religion. This is what I know. I was blind, and now I see. The Lord has set a monument in my life that you can't take away from me. The world can't take away from me. All the enemy, all the imps in hell can't take it from me. The devil can't take it from me. I've got a monument that I've set up in my heart that this is real to me. That blind man said, I don't know about your debating, but I know this. I was blind, and now I see. I can see. I never could before. And now I can. And I know I can. Other people can say, I had a devil, and now I don't. Other people said, I had a sickness, and now I don't. I got something changed in my life, and God's real to me. And I know that it's true. You can argue this blind man all you want to, but one thing you couldn't take from him was his sight. And the reality that he could see and the blessings of it. It was real in his life. And I imagine all the days of his life, he testified, no matter what they said, to the one called Jesus that came by and restored to him his sight. Isn't it a precious thing to see? It's more precious to be able, you know, the old saying is never so blind was a man that would not see. Oh, and how much a person can see though they're blind when they have their eyes open to be able to see and to know and to believe in God. Brother Leslie gave us a wonderful message the other day, the Lord did, about how creation speaks to us and how we can see God. You see God. He was talking about seeing God in the flowers. You ever have God talk to you like that? erect something in your heart there. That's a place right there. And though these Israelites was going to face, we need these places, folks. Because ahead of the Israelites was many wars and battles and things that seem uncertain. But in their lives, they could always look back and say, I wonder how many times some of them may have said, well, we got a few days off here. Let's go back to Gilgal. I just need a boost. You want to go back to Gilgal? You want to look at the Jordan there? Let's go look at that. Let's go see. Does it still stand there? Is it like I remembered? And you go there and look. There's the monument. There's the monument standing there. We really did do it. Then we went and said, let's go on to the Jordan. Went there to the Jordan. Jordan's up. No, look. The water's swirling right there. Right there it still swirls. What's there? We stacked some stones up there when the river was standing on its edge. God's still with us. He wouldn't change now. He's still with us. The same God that worked for you before, He'll work for you again. He's going to take us all the way through. He brought them there with all that ahead of them, wanting them to exercise their faith, as Abraham did. Their father before him, to exercise a faith in God. But he knew they needed something more. They needed something that they could look and say, oh, God worked for us. He worked for us, brother. I wonder how many times that maybe this happened, if you'll give me liberty. Maybe this happened. There was a couple brothers there in the land of Israel. Time's tough. Philistines pushing. And one of them says to the other, are we going to be able to make it through this? And one says, oh, I don't know. The other one says, Dad told us of a story. Dad told us that when they come over into this land, that when the priest's feet touch the water, that the water split. They say there's monuments there. Dad said that. Let's go look. Let's go look. Do you know the monuments that you build in your life will last through generations of people? They'll be able to say, Dad said it worked for him. Dad said when he trusted in the Lord helped him. And he went all the way with it, and it meant something to him. And I got in mind, you know, I'm going to tell you something. Back home, I don't miss service. I just don't. You want to ask me why I do that? I'm going to tell you. Because when I first got saved, I was about as wretched as a human being could get. I was miserable. I was wretched. I needed help so bad I didn't know what I was going to do at 23 years old. And the Lord saved me. And when I started going to church over there, and every time I went, the Spirit of the Lord just burned in my chest, in my bosom. And I just, that was my refuge. My place was right there in that service. And I told the Lord, I'm going to serve you. And I'd go and the Lord would meet me there time after time for food for my soul. And how many times I pressed through big snowstorms, two major mountain divides. I'm not bragging, I'm simply telling you, here was a soul that wouldn't have made it through the week without Him. I had to go. That's the way I felt. And I pressed my way on to service through all that to get there. But you know why? Because He never failed to meet me there. And when I pressed through and got there, Brother Tony would have the word, or Brother Mark would have the word, or somebody would testify. And many times the Lord prepared my path before me. Many times the very thing I needed that day was preached. Now the thing that I needed that week when I faced it, the Lord already dealt with my heart and I was able to face it with victory. What was it? I'll tell you why I keep going. Because I got something. I got me a monument. I got me something there that means something to me. And that's why I keep doing it. Radical? Yeah, I hope so. For this world, I hope it's radical. Because it's something that means something to me. There was a time that the disciples came to the Lord. And if you remember the setting there, and He told Peter, I think they said, many of them had went no more. This is a hard saying. This is a hard saying. Jesus had just told them that lest they eat his flesh and drink his blood, they wouldn't enter? Boy, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Who can understand it? So they walk no more with him, and Jesus turns to his disciples and said, will you go also? Peter says, where would we go? Where would you go? I think old Peter started having some monuments in his life already. He'd already seen some things. Where would we go? Been in this life a little while now. Don't see anything other possibilities. Lord, where would we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And Jesus said unto him, Peter, you know, called him the rock. Wasn't he a rock? On this rock. Not Peter. But on the revelations. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. This didn't come by the hand of a man, but it come from the revelation of God's Spirit into your soul, that you realize that this is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, upon this revelation, not upon Peter, as some think. It wasn't on Peter. It was on the revelation to every heart. That's where he put his church. That's where the church is built today. Upon the revelation of Jesus Christ, upon the monument. This is what you build on. This is our rock. This is our monument. I got something right here. Upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell can prevail against a lot of things, but it can't get the revelation to your heart. You can't be the revelation out. You can't torture it out. You can't run it out. It makes me to know I need the revelation. Lord, I need to know that you're my Savior. I need to know that you're my God. I need to know, yeah, I appreciated testimony. It was a good testimony. Sister Anita testified about how the Lord... I appreciated that testimony, how He blessed their son. And I remember many testimonies they've had, and others. That's real good. It touches my heart. But if that's all I've got, I ain't got it. I've got to have went through it and seen the revelation where God has done it for me. I just love when the Lord speaks with me. I'll tell you a little thing. It was so precious to me. There was one of the sisters in our congregation's half-brother passed away. And Brother Mansell had the opportunity to go and talk with him before he died. And he got saved and had repented of his sins. And there was a good testimony that he was at much peace before he passed away. And when he passed away, the family had him cremated and was going to spread his ashes up there at Bruce Knob Lake. So Brother Mansell calls me up Saturday. I didn't have any part in it at all. I didn't even know it was happening, really. It wasn't something they were spreading out too much. Brother Mansell calls me up Saturday morning and says, Brother Marty, what's your schedule look like for the day? Well, I said, I'm mowing my grass and I'm mowing the neighbor's grass. We got to have haircuts today. I got a shutter to put on. Got to put a bumper back on my truck. And I was just getting started. And he said, well, sounds like a real day. He said, well, they're having Eddie's memorial service. And when he said that, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you know you ought to go. And I know the Lord said it. Well, I talked with him a little bit. My flesh was wanting to recoil. I had so much. You ever been there? Had so much to do, I could not. We was leaving Tuesday, so that meant really Sunday's out of the question. And Monday, I had Monday to do what I needed to do before I left early Tuesday, and my flesh was saying, "You got too much to do." Well, I told Brother Mansell. He said, "I really would appreciate it if you would go up, and if the Lord would give you anything, it'd be a real blessing." And you know, the Lord not only told me I ought to go, He told me what to say. Just like that. And I told Brother Mansell, well, I said I'll pray about it. But now in my heart I knew that praying about it, you know, you pray about it, but I already knew the Lord wasn't changing His mind about it. I knew that what I was supposed to do. You know, that was so precious to me. I did have to push through the flesh.
And I mentioned to Linda, and Linda said, well, I'd love to go. And so we went up there. I felt like what I had to say was very short, and there wasn't much to do, and they asked me to read the obituary. And I did that, and then had this little thought. But the Lord blessed it. And I was confident that He would, because I heard Him say it. And I knew that He would, and when He said it and told me that, I knew it's what was wanted. And then after that, some of the family said, you don't know. That was exactly what my family needed to hear. Well, it wasn't me. I didn't even know the family much, but God did. And God has put those kind of places. And if I was to stand here, I would run you out of time telling you the times that God, in this little ministry that the Lord's given me, how many times the Lord is capable of this. Here's the guy that when I was in high school, I was supposed to give an oral report, a 3-minute oral report, and I went totally apart. Got up there before the class and started, and I went and started so fast, my words were going so fast, I was just talking like that, and the class erupted in laughter, and I had to stop, and when they quit laughing, I tried it, and the teacher said, do it again, and I started to do it again, and they started laughing at me again, and the teacher says, okay, Marty, just sit down, you can do it later. And I said, no way. I'm not doing it again. It's now or never. And I went ahead and done it. And they laughed at me through the thing. And it was embarrassing and humiliating. And I thought, surely she'd have pity and give me a good grade, though it was a bad speech. And I got a C. Well, that didn't mean much. I passed, but that was fine. But I'll tell you, I did this, and I just have been times that it comes back to it. I said, Lord, have mercy on me. Here's a place, and I'm supposed to speak before all these people and say this, and this funeral is supposed to come up with something, and Lord, what am I supposed to do? And the Lord opens up the waters and does something there, and how many times I can look and say, He's never failed me. He's always given me ammunition when I needed it. He's always given me something to say when I needed to say it. And there's been times that He lets us get up, and we know this. There's been times He lets us get right up to the time before He gives it, but He's always faithful. And there is a monument in my heart over and over again of those places where the Lord gave me something. The first revival I ever held, green, novice as I could be, but I was holding this revival. It was Easter Sunday in LaRonger. Huge crowd there. Oh, was I nervous. Lord, help. A place like this. Get up there and just pour my heart out. Brother Ed and Sister Roberta sitting over there, and they usually was really ameners. I mean, they support you, especially when you're young like that. They was into it, and they sat there like this. They didn't look sideways. They didn't look nothing. They didn't have an expression on it. They sat there the whole time like that. And I got through at the end of it, and I thought, oh, what a disaster. Oh, it was just awful. Sister Roberta came up later and said, Brother Marty, I wanted to tell you something. You don't know. Said the Lord so pinpointed some of the needs of this congregation. So pinpointed some of the needs of the people that we was working with that was here. It was so direct, we couldn't do it. We couldn't say anything. It was that pointed. I didn't know anything. The Lord always works like that. And He builds places in our lives. We need to be able to experience God in our lives. It's why it's so valid to be with the Lord. It's so valid to be in that place of walking in the Spirit that we might be able to have these kind of places. How many times the Lord make ways through we don't even know and acknowledge because we're not there. And how often God has done these things for us. Lord, help us today. He's real. Give Him an opportunity in your life today. That's all I can say about this. What mean these stones? Give God an opportunity in your life to prove Himself, and He will. If you have doubts about the doctrine, you have doubts about the healing, you have doubts about that, this is what I can say to you. Give yourself totally over to the Lord and allow Him all the room in your life and see if He won't prove Himself. See if you won't have some Jordans see if you don't have some places that you cross. See if you don't have some experiences of where you can come back and testify and say, I want to tell you what the Lord did for me. He'll do it for every one of us. I have a desire in my heart to see more of God and see more of what He does.
But I do want to encourage us this. Don't allow the devil to tell us God isn't working. Because I read some of them books sometimes about these healings that Lord done, and I'll get all, oh, I wish we could see that again. And the Lord will say, what? Think about your life. And I'll look at it and say, if I was to write a book of all that He's done, it would read exactly that way. Because He's done the same thing for me, and He's done the same thing for you, Brother Rich, and He's done the same thing for you, Brother Gordon. How many times has He healed you? Helped you? Blessed you? How many times have you crossed? How many times, Brother Dan, has the Lord? How many monuments have we got? Brother Frankie, how many times has the Lord helped you? Over and over. How many times have we given our heart, trust to God, and He's brought us through that place? What mean these stones? What's the hope that's in you? What do you have to say to the world? I wanted to get that last part of that, because this was the reason that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. This was the bottom line of the experience that the Lord wants to resonate. He wants people that is not stubborn, but steadfast, with great convictions in their life about God and what He's done for them, that is absolutely unmovable. I'm sorry, brother, I can't go there. This is where God has brought us. That the world might see there is a people. There is a God that has a people. And that God is a mighty God that has delivered us out of every difficult place. Did it say, can you live free from sin? It speaks of the mighty hand of God in our lives. Can we overcome habits? I got me some monuments to them. Can you overcome the smoking habit, the tobacco habit? Praise God! There's people, I never did do it, but there's people that's got monuments to it. Brother Salmon's had a wonderful monument to the power and delivering power of God. He had an old habit, and when he got saved, he realized all of a sudden that he didn't. The Lord delivered him from the habit. I've had habits, and the Lord delivered me from them. There's monuments in our lives. You pray for me. I want to be faithful. Lord.